continuing our The Power of Praise series that we're on, getting into that today. We had a little bit of a break, you know, in that series when we had Mike Hesch and Caroline Hesch here last week. And so I am going to do a little bit of a review, but before we do that, I want to, you know, we had Mike Hesch here and what he was teaching. I just want to recap some of the things that he shared. So we're going to be doing that shortly. But I promise it'll all tie together, okay? You know, I want to say that message that Mike Hesch brought was so simple.
Yeah.
Yet it was very profound. How about it? Very Amen. Profound. You know, his message was so simple. He said we had to believe. That was it. Believe. We had to believe. We had to believe. We're supposed to believe. He used this term. He said he was trying to describe what that meant. We need to be all in. You know, I'm not a gambler, but he was explaining what this. I get it. I get what he was saying. We got to be all in. When I suppose when you're gambling, when you're all in, you're putting all your money in, and you're not reserving anything in case Plan A doesn't work. So being all in is not about having a Plan B or a Plan C in case Plan A doesn't work. It's being all in, and so it's totally trusting God and what He said in His Word. Okay, so. He was just trying to describe what Bible faith looks like, being all in, totally trusting God. It's God or nothing.
Amen.
And that's where Mike was. It had to be God or he was not going to be here much longer, okay? So he was showing that is how he was able to walk out that miracle, that miraculous healing. He was there. We're going to bring that picture up. I don't know if children, you know, don't want to see it, just close their eyes, you know. But this is where he's at. For those of you who might not have been here last week, this is where he was at. This huge tumor was attached to his chest. So we can learn from Mike's experience, and we can praise God for it. Because as, you know, as Gary said, God is not a respecter of persons. What he does for one, he'll do for another, if we believe him. And so I want to point out that Mike's, this miraculous healing could not have happened if God's word wasn't true. It could not. And I want to go and see where he was all in about, okay? Evan, thank you. The prophet Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would come to set the captives free. He prophesied it, and it's visible in Isaiah 53, and I'm going to start at verse 3. This is the Hebrew translation. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of pains. We're talking about Jesus. And he was acquainted with sickness. And we hid, as it were, from our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Evan, next. Verse 4. But in truth, is this the truth?
Yes.
Absolutely. Amen. But in truth, he has borne our what?
Sickness.
He bore our sicknesses. And he endured our what?
Pains.
Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5 says, but he was wounded. Why? Because of our transgressions, bruised because of our iniquities. His sufferings were that we might have what?
Peace.
And by his injury, we are healed. Those scriptures say that Jesus bore our iniquities, our sicknesses, and our pains. Is that the truth?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So, you know, we know that Jesus bore our iniquities, right? Many churches preach that, right? They preach that he bore our sins. I want to look up that word iniquities. Could you bring that up, please? That word for iniquities, the Hebrew word is ovon. Ovon, it's called. And that definition of iniquities is sin, perversity, moral evil, fault, or iniquity, according to Strong's Concordance. So thank God that Jesus came in and paid for our iniquities, for our sins, right? Because we couldn't pay it. The Bible says that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. We couldn't pay for our sins. Only one could do it. That was Jesus. The Bible says that he had pure blood because he was sinless. His blood was pure. He was the only one that could pay for our sins completely. And so it said that he suffered so that we could have peace. Excuse me. That we get a peace. That was part of the atonement. Paying for our sins, for our iniquities. That was part of the atonement. But now, those scriptures that we looked at also said that he bore our sicknesses and our pains. He bore our sicknesses and our pains so that we might have what? Peace. You know, if we have sickness or if we have mental or physical pain, are we at peace?
No.
No, we're not. You know, there are denominations that say what Jesus did on the cross, it was all spiritual. But what we're seeing here, and I'm going to, I'll prove it, it was all inclusive.
Amen.
Spirit, soul, and body. Could you bring up Isaiah 53:4 again? Just keep going, Evan. Next one. There. Okay. I want to highlight. This is what we just saw. But in truth, he, speaking of Jesus, he bore our sicknesses and endured our pains. I took this version from the Hebrew Bible. We have these handouts in our back file. If you don't have it already, you might want to pick it up. I have it called Healing in the Atonement at the top of the page. When I needed healing in my body, this is where I got hung up. I couldn't receive because I got hung up in these scriptures. You know, I said someone had sent me this little God's Medicine booklet. This little God's Medicine booklet. They're now blue. We put them in our welcome packets, but someone sent this to me, and this was the change for me. But I tell you, when I opened it up and I got into the scriptures, you know, where Ken Hagin listed healing scriptures here. The very first one was Isaiah 53:4-5. And in there, he had the King James Version in there, okay? And so when you look at the King James Version, the words that are used there could be a little blind. You might not quite understand them. But then behind those words, he has the literal Hebrew translation. And so the King James Version says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs." Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That's what the King James Version says. Mm-hmm. And if you look at each of your versions, it may not say exactly what the original Hebrew did, but we're going back to the Hebrew to find out where did this come from? Where did this thinking, where did it come from? And so the actual literal Hebrew translation for griefs is sicknesses. The actual literal translation for sorrows is pains, okay? So you know where we're going with this. So that was where I got hung up. And you know, God is so awesome. When I saw that, I saw, this is what my King James says, but this is what the literal Hebrew is. I don't know Hebrew. So I had a question there. If what was written in here was the truth. And so I had struggle receiving because I didn't know if that's what the Hebrew said, because I don't speak Hebrew. So I got, hey God, if this is real, you got to show me. I got to see it myself. And so at the time I was working in the East Penn School District. I was working part-time with the children. And it just so happened that I transferred to a different school. And in that school, there was a Jewish gal. And we got into some discussions, you know. She didn't believe a lot of things. She doesn't believe in Satan. You know, there's just some things that they don't believe in, even though it's right in their own Bible. But that wasn't what I was after. I asked her, I said, do you have a Hebrew Bible? An original Hebrew, do you have the original version of the Hebrew language? She said, yes, I do. And so I said, could you please photocopy your page that has Isaiah 53 and 4 and 5 on it? And she said, sure. So she photocopied it. She went home, photocopied it, and brought it into me. And sure enough, the Hebrew translation includes sicknesses and pains, not griefs and sorrows. That's important to know where we're going here today. That's important to know. Mike Pesh needed to know that. He needed to know. So, whatever, I don't know what Bible version you have, but the Young's Literal Translation will have these same terms in there, and so will the Holman, if anyone has the Holman standard, the Christian Standard Bible. Those will have those same exact terms in there. But what was clearly written in Hebrew were these terms here. So what I want to look at, now that's in the Old Testament. I want to go to the New Testament. Okay, we're going to look at Matthew because Matthew confirms what Isaiah says. Could you bring that up? Thank you, Evan. So Matthew 8, 16, and 17. This is the New King James Version that I'm giving here right now. So when evening had come, they brought to him, Jesus, many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed a few.
All.
He healed all that were sick. Okay. Excuse me, I got tickled. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying. Now here Matthew is quoting Isaiah. Okay. Talking about Jesus, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. That's Matthew. Okay. All right, I just want to look at these words. He took our infirmities. Kathy, could you bring up the next scripture, please? That word, the Greek word for infirmities is the word asthenia. Asthenia. It means feebleness of body or mind. Feebleness of body or mind. Are we talking about our spirits here? Body or mind?
Mind.
We're talking about the soul and the body, right? We're talking about our flesh. Another word, malady, disease, infirmity, sickness, weakness. This is clearly referring to our body, our flesh. And I want to pick up the next word for sicknesses. This is the Greek word nosos. It means a malady, a disease, infirmity, sickness, disability. Again, this is talking about our physical body. So here, Matthew is affirming what Isaiah said 700 years before Jesus even came on the scene, that Jesus would take our infirmities and our sicknesses. And why did Isaiah say that Jesus suffered for us? Did you bring it up? His sufferings were that we might have peace. And by his injury, by his stripes, we are healed. Excuse me. So Jesus was wounded for our sins. By his injury, by his stripes, we are healed. Jesus bore our sicknesses and he bore our pains. By his injury, by his stripes, we are healed from sicknesses and pains. He paid for it. He did it. We can't only take one part of that atonement. We got to take it all. All of it. He paid for our sins. He paid for our sicknesses, and he paid for our pains at the cross. That's where he did it. I do want to look real quickly. This is the Hebrew word for that word griefs that we looked at earlier. That word is koli. Koli. This is what you know, they use the word griefs in the King James Version. But I just want to look at what it says. It's koli. It means malady, anxiety, calamity, disease, grief, sickness. Okay? And then the Hebrew word for that word, sorrows. This is what was used in the King James Version. The word is makob. That word is makob. It means anguish, affliction, grief, pain, sorrow. Again, we're talking about the physical body and the mental soulish parts.
What is that word?
Our spirit.
Makob. Yeah, but what's the word that?
The word sorrows is what's used in the King James Version. Sorrows. So it's makob. It's really important to look and see what the definitions, what are these things, what do they mean, so that we get better revelation of what God is, you know, telling us. And so the atonement that Jesus paid for on the cross included all three areas: our spirit, our soul, and our body. These verses show that clearly. This is the truth that Mike Hesh had to be all in with. That's the truth I needed to be all in with in order to receive. I know you don't hear this in every church that you walk into, but you gotta know it. That's why we exist here. I didn't know any of this stuff before. I was a Baptist. I didn't know, we love the Baptists, we're not against, but I didn't know any of this. So I wasn't walking in any of it until I got into the Word to see what it said myself. And you know, Mike said this, he said, it was the truth that set him free.
Amen.
He needed to know the truth. I needed to know the truth. That set me free. Something else that I want to share with you, I shared this with our Thursday morning Bible study. You know, in our position, you know, Gary and I get to hang out a little bit more with the guest speakers that come. So when Mike and Caroline came in on Friday evening, we were able to meet with them, and we spent hours with them talking. And it was just a great time. But Mike shared some things, just like Gary just shared, you know, a little while ago. He shared some things that he didn't say in his message on Saturday and Sunday. He said he wanted to keep the message really simple. But I really think that there was an important part that he shared that I want to share with all of you here. Okay? All right, so the scripture that he talked about, he said these were the scriptures that kick-started his healing. All right? And I'm going to look at them in the King James Version, because I think the King James Version is very clear. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to start at verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Verse 25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, these scriptures certainly apply to the unsaved, but they also apply to any Christian who opposes themselves. Mike said this. He said he read those scriptures, and he had one of those like light bulb moments, that, you know, aha moment, you know, when he got revelation. He saw that even though he was a Christian, he was born again, but he realized that he had been opposing himself in this area of healing, because he hadn't been in alignment with God's word. He was, if we aren't in alignment with God's word, we're opposing ourselves. He was not, originally, he was not in alignment, and so he realized that. But this is the other thing he understood, that if he repents and acknowledges the truth, he may recover himself out of the snare of who?
The devil.
Where do you think malignant tumors come from?
The devil.
Not God? No. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Absolutely. It's the devil from the pit of hell. And so when he got that revelation, he realized, oh, I got a part to play here. I got a part to play. I got to come into alignment with what God says in his word. Right? And notice in those in verse 24 we saw earlier that we need to be taught the truth. You know, we're a teaching ministry here. We teach. We'll give you definitions. We'll, you know, it's important to be taught. Because you know what? I wasn't taught any of this stuff. In all the churches, we got married in a Lutheran church. We love Lutherans. But they didn't teach us any of this stuff. None of it. So, you know, that's why we're here. And so we just, you know, take these scriptures home and study them yourself. Get it, you know, get it from beyond here into the heart. Because that's when it'll start working. Okay? So, you know, that said about you know, the servant of the Lord, pastors are supposed to be teaching the truth. It's the truth that will set people free. But you know what? It's only the truth that you know about that will set you free.
Right.
If that Bible's sitting on your nightstand and you don't open it up and you don't know what's in there, you know what? You're not going to be free in certain areas. Whatever is in there, you got to know what the Bible says, what God has said. So Mike said he realized that he opposed himself because he was not in alignment with God's word. And so that was one of the first things he said, you know, he didn't know that sickness, that tumor that was on him, he didn't know that Jesus already paid for that at the cross. Done. History. Past tense. You know, 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes we were healed. We were healed. That was the first thing. And he said he didn't know that he had a part to play in this. You know, a lot of people think, oh, well, it'll just fall on you like ripe cherries off of a tree. It doesn't. It doesn't. You know, he had to believe. He had to believe and he had to act on that belief. Because of those two things, he was not in alignment with God's word. And when he learned the truth, when he acknowledged the truth, that's when he started seeing some things change in his body. And so this is one of the verses that he used when he was here teaching. Could you bring this one up, Evan? Matthew 21:22. He said, this was his foundation that he started when he was teaching us. He says, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Remember he said, to try to understand the scripture, walk it backwards. Reverse it. What does it say? And this is what it says. It says, you will receive, believing, the things that you ask for in prayer. Does that make it a little more simple?
Yes.
It's awesome. It's awesome. If there's no believing, guess what? There's no receiving. There's no receiving. We do have a part to play. Mike said we have to be all in, no plan B. he referenced this. Evan, could you bring up Romans 4, verses 20 and 21? Okay, we're talking about Abraham here. Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. You know, our message here today is on praising God. Verse 21, and being fully convinced, being all in, that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So if you notice, Abraham praise God. He gave glory to God before he ever saw the manifestation of the promise, which of course was his own biological son through his wife Sarah. He gave glory to God. I tell you, it would fit in with our praise. Praising God before you see the answer is actually a form of high faith. You know, it's very easy to praise God when you're on the other side of that Red Sea.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more challenging. It's actually faith when you praise him on this side of the Red Sea with the sea in front of you and your enemy right behind you and you're squashed in. Praising God, even in that situation. And you all can relate. We've all dealt with different situations. You can know what I'm talking about. So Abraham trusted God. He was all in. He believed him. And of course, you know how the how that result came through. Mike said that mental assent is only intellectual. It's not connected to our heart. We can agree with the Word of God mentally. It's when it gets to our heart that it becomes belief, Bible faith. It's believing. So that's the all-in kind of believing. That's where Abraham was, and that's why he received that miracle of his son when he and his wife were way past childbearing years. That's where Mike Hesh was when he was dealing with this huge tumor hanging on him, but he was believing God, and he received that miracle. It has to, we got a part to play. Now, I want to look at the atonement again. Evan, could you bring up the next? This is John 8:36. This is, Jesus said this. He said, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Who was it that hung on this cross?
Jesus
is the one that paid the penalty for our sins, for our sicknesses, for our pains. He paid it. He set us free. So if he set us free, we are free indeed from Satan's dominion.
Amen.
He's the one that freed us. Now, we are free to make our own choices, however. God sovereignly gives us the choice to make our own decisions. Those choices can be life or death. Blessings or cursings, you know, we read Deuteronomy. It's a choice. We got to come into agreement with what God says in his word. We got to be all in. By faith, all of you who are saved in here, you received salvation by faith. By faith, we receive healing in our bodies. By faith, we receive deliverance. By faith, we have a part to play in all of it. It's a personal choice that we have to be all in. God provided our answer by grace, and it's by faith that we receive what He's provided. It's not by just mentally assenting; it's Bible faith. Evan, could you bring up Ephesians 2:8? It says, "For by grace you have been saved." Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. So grace is God's part, right? And faith is our part. Mike learned that these truths and received a miracle. But you know, you might say, well, Pastor Rhonda, I know someone who was very sick. They didn't believe God, but their sickness brought them closer to God. You know what? That's great. However anybody comes to God, God can use sickness for that. That doesn't mean He put it on them.
That's right.
He did not put that sickness on them. Galatians 3:13 says that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. And if you look at Deuteronomy 28, you can look at it yourselves. Specifically, Deuteronomy 28:61, all sickness is a curse of the law. So if Jesus came to redeem us from the curse, it would not be appropriate for Him to be putting sickness in us. You get it? Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
If Jesus, and we just saw in all those scriptures, we saw, if Jesus died on that cross, if He paid for our sins, which He did, if He paid for our sicknesses and pains, which He did, then it would be dishonoring to Him if we didn't receive it all. We can't take pieces of the atonement out. We have to agree with it all. You probably are all familiar with the verse in Acts 10:38 where it says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and He went about doing
good.
Good. Good. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by God. Oh, yes, thank you. We don't have the verse on here. I'm like checking out who's reading their Bible. Absolutely. So God calls healing good, and he calls things that oppress people, sickness, he calls that's of the devil. Okay? John 5:19 says that the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father doing. So Jesus went about healing people. That's what he was doing. He's doing what he sees his Father doing. Did you notice as you read through the New Testament that Jesus never made anybody sick?
Amen.
Okay. All right. He only did what he saw the Father doing. So we can conclude that God the Father wants to heal, not make us sick. You know, if God would make us sick in the New Testament after Jesus already bought and paid for us, if he would be making us sick, Jesus would have gone against his Father when he was going around healing people. Jesus taught that, two kingdoms can't be opposite each other, or they won't stand. So Jesus could not have acted in opposition of his Father. A house divided against itself will not stand. You know, if some people believe that, you know, sickness is a blessing. That's not what my Bible says. It does not say it's a blessing. But let's just go along with that thinking for a little bit. If sickness was a blessing, why should we pray for anybody to get healed? If sickness is such a blessing, why are you going to the doctor to try to get out of God's will? That's not God's will. He desires that we be well, not sick. Mm-hmm. It's God's will for us to be well. God may use sickness. He doesn't put it on people. He can use sickness to draw you to him. You know, however you get to him, it's worth it, I believe, to get to Jesus. But he doesn't make people sick. We're going to talk more a little bit about that. After the Thanksgiving holiday, I really want to get into a special teaching called The Sovereignty of God. I believe that information is probably the most misunderstood in the church. So we'll get there after the holidays. But for now, I want to continue walking this power of praise series. You know what? We can praise God every day for all that he's done. Amen. Every day, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're going through, you can praise him. And actually, he wants it. those who receive the truth that we're showing here today, those who accept that, they will be walking in it. If you can understand Mike how to get that revelation for him to walk in, I had to get this revelation that I wasn't taught in my Lutheran church or my UCC church or my Baptist church. I wasn't taught. When I learned these truths, all of a sudden it started working. And God led me through the whole thing. It was all God. So anyway, we can praise God. We can praise him that whatever it is we're going through, he's got the answer. He's got the solution. He already knows it. So that's what we praise God for. We just like Mike, we can receive healing from any sickness because sickness is a curse. And Jesus went to the cross to redeem us from the curse. Okay. All right. That's worth praising God for.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. That's, we honor him. That's why we give him thanks. He was our substitute on this cross. We deserve to be there. But he did it for us. He paid it all. You know, God was all in when he sent Jesus.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
He was all in. Can we be all in with him? Powerful. Our foundational scripture that we've been using for this series, Kathy, is Psalm. Well, I'm going to have fun with that. I know it's not Kathy, but anyway. Thank you, Evan. We love it. You know, Evan's one of those great guys. You know, whatever you need, he's here to help.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you. God, and God sees that, and God honors that. Evan's going. Evan's leaving in a short period of time. He's going to Mexico. So we're going to cover him in prayer. His life will be changed. I absolutely prophesy that. Your life will be changed. All right, so we're at Psalm 104. This is the New King James Version. This is our foundational scripture. Enter into his gates with complaining.
No.
No complaining. I'm just checking to see if you guys are awake. Yeah. Enter his gates with thanksgiving.
Hallelujah.
And enter his courts with murmuring.
Praise.
Praise. Okay, got it. All right, you guys are awake. Good. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Be thankful for what?
For everything. Everything.
Cross at Calvary over 2,000 years
ago. Oh, speak it, Joe. Yes, that's it. Woo! He's sitting in the back, but he's still awake. I tell you, he's all in. I believe Joe is all in. Thank you, Joe. Awesome. So, you know, we saw last time what that word thanksgiving meant. Evan, could you bring that up, please? That word is todah. Todah. It means, it's the Hebrew word, it means thanksgiving. It means adoration. It means praise. So when we're thanking God, we're praising God. Mm-hmm. They're interchangeable. When we praise him, we're exalting him. We're glorifying God. You know what? When we do that, God likes that. It affects him positively. You know, in this series, we're explaining how praise affects God, how it affects us, and how it affects the devil.
Yeah.
That's what we're covering in this series. But God likes it when we praise him. When we praise God, it brings God on the scene. It draws him to us. You know, last time we started looking at the scriptural example of how praise pleases God when we were looking at the story of Paul and Silas. So we're going to be going back there. Remember, Paul and Silas were thrown into jail because Paul had commanded an evil spirit to come out of a slave girl who worked as a fortune teller for her masters. We said that when that demonic spirit left that girl, she wasn't able to tell people's fortunes or their future anymore. And so that caused a financial collapse for her owners. And those owners were not happy. They were very, very disappointed. And so what they did was they took Paul and Silas to the magistrates. They stirred up trouble for them, and the magistrate threw them into the jail, in the lowest part of the jail, after they beat them. They were beaten, and the scripture reveals that they had stripes. So those stripes, like Jesus, there were open wounds on Paul and Silas's body because of the beating that they received. And then, to top it all off, then they put their feet in these stocks so that they couldn't walk freely. You know, I just want to remind you, you know, that the jails back then were nothing like our jails today.
No.
They didn't have 3 square meals. They didn't have exercise rooms. And they didn't have flat screen TVs and all this other stuff that we have in our jails today. So just bear that in mind. Yet, scripture tells us that, Evan, in Acts 16:25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. You know, Paul and Silas were in a terrible situation. Beaten, thrown in the stocks in the lowest part of the dungeon, and here they're praying and singing hymns to God at midnight. We can learn a lot from Paul and Silas here. You know, they were thrown into that jail unjustly. All they did was deliver the slave girl from a demonic spirit. Shouldn't they be praised for that, you know?
Amen.
They didn't kill anybody. They didn't steal anything. They just delivered this gal from a demon. But here they are, and instead of murmuring and complaining about their poor situation, here we are, you know, we didn't deserve to be thrown in this jail. We did nothing. We didn't deserve to be beaten and thrown all the way down here in the bottom of the pit. Look at these rats. You know, they weren't murmuring and complaining. They were singing to God. They were praying. What would you have done in that situation? Whoa, think about that. Think about it. You don't have to answer me. I don't think any of us have been in a situation that was as bad as Paul and Silas were at that particular time. If, you know, what this tells me, if Paul and Silas can be praying and singing to God in their situation, can we in ours?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Paul and Silas were offering up a sacrifice. That was a sacrifice of praise. You know, their bodies had to be hurting from the beating. It had to be cold in the jail. But this is what the writer of Hebrews says. Evan, could you bring up Hebrews 13:15? Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We're to praise God.
Yes.
Continually, all the time. We're to give thanks to him. You know what Paul and Silas were doing down there in that dungeon while they were singing praises to God? They were taking their focus off their situation and they were putting their focus on the answer. They were praising God. And when we praise God, that draws him. And so God is pleased when we praise him. I'm going to ask you to take out your Bibles. If you need Bibles, we've got a whole bunch stacked up back there on the table. I want you to go to Acts 16. We're going to read a little bit more about this this story. We started it last time, and I'm going to go through it a little bit more detail now. We have a little more time.
Acts.
Chapter 16, if you will. Chapter 16. Everybody got it?
Yes.
All right. I'm in Acts chapter 16. No, I'm not. Okay, here we are. I'm going to start at verse 26. And I'm going to read up until 34. Okay. 26. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, there's that word again, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. So while Paul and Silas were praising God, an earthquake just happened at that particular time. Was that a coincidence?
No.
Oh no, it was God.
No.
It's a God.
It was God was responding to what they were doing. It was just an awesome, awesome time. You know, praise will get God's attention. That is true praise from our heart. So Paul and Silas, they were praising God. They were praying to him. But they were not doing it to receive, to be it. That wasn't the purpose, was not to receive from him. They weren't praising him to get a jail out of jail card. They were praising him from their hearts. This was it was their lifestyle. They were just praising God from their hearts. It was a sincere heart. We know that they weren't just praising God to have God get them out of jail. Scriptures reveal that. It says because the when those doors were open and the chains fell off, they didn't leave. They stayed. The jailkeeper was going to kill himself because, you know, that's how they handled those things back then. If the prisoners got away, the jailer was responsible and his life would have been taken. So he was going to kill himself. But this is what Paul said, Evan, Acts 16:28. Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Notice that Paul said, "We are all here." We're all here, not just me and Silas. All these prisoners are here too. So that means that none of the other prisoners left. Amen. I thought that was pretty interesting that they didn't run. You know, I wonder why. I wonder why they didn't run. Do you remember when we read the scripture earlier? We read that when Paul and Silas were singing, the other prisoners were doing what?
Listening.
They were listening. Now that had to be a pretty awesome sight. They must have seen that Paul and Silas were beaten. They got thrown in the worst part, you know, the lowest part of the jail. And here they are singing. They're talking to their God. They're praying. I believe that those prisoners were affected by Paul and Silas's praise. I believe, you know, when we praise God, it brings God on the scene. It changes the atmosphere. I believe those prisoners were affected by the praises and the presence of God. Not only that, but then, you know, they're in there with the earthquake too going on. And all the chains fall off and the doors open up. They had to know this was just not a normal situation, right? Can you imagine being there yourself? This is not normal. But isn't the response of the jailer precious? Mm-hmm. The jailer himself, he asked Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" Ah, that's precious. And this is what they answered, Kathy. Believe. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You and your household." You and your household all have to believe.
Yes.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, my kids can't get in because I believe God. No, they got to believe God for themselves as well. Yes. They can't get in on my coat strings. They got to believe too. Do you know, that's the same simple message that Mike Hesh brought to us. Believe. You must believe. You have to be all in. You know, it's interesting. Luke, the physician, he was the one that wrote the book of Acts. we're supposed to believe. And that word for saved, we know what it is?
Sozo.
It's sozo. Awesome. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be sozoed. Emmett, could you bring up the definitions for sozo? This word encompasses a lot. We can't just take part of it. It means to save. It means to deliver. It means to protect. It means to heal. It means to preserve. It means to do well or prosper. It also means to make whole. To make whole. That word encompasses a whole lot. Thank God. Thank God it includes salvation, right? But thank God it includes deliverance. It includes protection and healing, preservation, wholeness, prosperity. It includes it all. We could say it this way. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be delivered. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be protected. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be healed. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be made whole. You'll be prospered. You'll be preserved. Believe. Believe. That's the word. That's the word. Believe. Mike Hesch believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for his healing. It wasn't just mental assent. He was believing everything he had. He was all in. That is why he received that awesome, miraculous healing. It was part of the atonement. He needed to know that he was all in with that. The same way that we receive salvation by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is the same way we receive healing, deliverance, protection, prosperity, all of it. It's by believing. Mike Hesch could not have received his miracle if the word of God wasn't true. But it is. It is. It's there for all of us. He put a demand on that word. He believed and he acted on it. And he received his miracle. Surely Jesus bore our sicknesses. He bore our pains and he bore our iniquities. Surely that's the truth. That's the truth. Isaiah prophesied it, and then Matthew, we just saw earlier that Matthew and Peter confirmed it in the New Testament. But to believe only part of the atonement would be doing such a dishonor, a disservice to Jesus, because he did it all. He did it all on the cross. We have much to praise God for. I'm gonna quit here. We'll pick up some more next time. But you know, what we're looking at over these several messages is how praise affects us. It's the power of praise. How does praise affect God? It affects him positively, in a positive way. God loves it when we praise him. It draws him on the scene. You know, he loves when we praise him. Praise affects us positively because it takes our focus off of our situation and puts it on the answer. Jesus, God, they've got the answer. It changes the atmosphere. We saw that, you know, when Paul and Silas were praising God in the jail. It changes the atmosphere. The prisoners didn't want to leave either. They wanted to stay. When we praise God, it changes our attitude, it changes the atmosphere, and it sets us up to receive from him. It sets us up. And we taught this earlier in the last two sessions, that praising God affects the devil in a positive way for us, but a negative way for him. You know, praise is a strong force. We saw that praise silences and stills our enemy. Praise is a powerful weapon against the